Start now. Let's begin. Now that Hanukkah has passed, I want to begin with you a new series of shiurim. Not going to do this every single day. Consistently, we'll take a break here and there for other inyanim. But the topic of this new series is the Aleph base. I want to go back to the basics. Okay, so I want to present to you Amram Chol. Can we mention? We're going to begin now a new series of shiurim about the Aleph base. Go back to the basics. Back to the basics. Now, a lot of the material that relates to the Aleph base is Kabbalistic, which I have no understanding of, obviously. So I'm just going to try to present some things which are interesting. We'll try to do one letter a day. We'll try.
Today is brought to you by the letter Aleph.
By the letter Aleph. Exactly. Okay, so let's begin. Let's try to cover some ideas relating to the letter Aleph. The first thing, we all know the Aleph is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, but not everyone realizes that it's also the last letter. I don't just say the last letter, it's the Hakofa to the last letter. What do I mean? Aleph means one, but Aleph also can be pronounced Eleph, a thousand. Now, how does Aleph relate to a thousand in relation to all of the letters of the Aleph base? So we know we have Aleph. We go through all the letters of the Aleph base. Then we come, let's say, Aleph base, given we go into letter until the letter Yud. Then we go from the single letters. We start with Yud, Chof, Lamed, Mem, Nun, Samach, Ayin, Pei, Tzadi. We go 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. And then we come to Kuf, 100. Right? So we've gone to the digits, through the two-digit numbers. Then we come to Kuf is 100. Then we come to Resh, 200. Then we come to Shin, 300. And then we come to the last letter in the Aleph base, Tav, which is 400. Are we finished?
No.
We're not finished. We now have Mansepach. Mansepach, now we have to really rearrange the letters, but the next letters correspond to 500. There are Man, Tsepach. There are five N letters. Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Pei, and Chof Sofis. Okay, so they're in a different order, but yeah. it doesn't matter what the order is. We could arrange you in different ways, but those five letters correspond to 500, 600, 700, 800, 900. Now, what comes after 900? 1,000. Aleph. So Aleph is the Hakofa, is the next letter. Aleph is not just one. Aleph is also pronounced Eleph. And the reason why Aleph is Eleph is because after you get to Tav, the last letter, 400, we then go through another hundreds, Mansepach, 500, 600, 700, 800, 900, and then the next one is Aleph, so it is the Hakofa. It's a very interesting insight into understanding the Aleph base, that it's circular. What? Do we find it being used? I don't know. I'm not
books, you usually use tough cuff.
You write it in printed books, of course. Right. In print, that's the convention. But in the this Olam HaDrush, there is such a concept that Aleph does represent the concept of 1,000, and it is circular. We go off after 900 to 100.
Hey, it's 5,000.
What?
It's very much Maral.
Maral type of Torah. Okay. Enjoy. Let's go to another idea. Aleph, what does an Aleph look like? Aleph, we know, has two yuds and a line down the center on an angle. So what is the symbolic meaning of two yuds? There are two little bodies, one on top, one on the bottom, with the line going down the center. So all the Farshim, this is very popular. The Aleph represents the number 26, because the line down the center is the letter Vav, 6. Mm-hmm. And the two yuds that connect are 10 and 10 to 20. 26. And this has much meaning because the Torah was given with the word, the Aleph is significant, that's the opening letter of the Aseres Hadibros. The Torah was given to the Klal Yisrael 26 generations from creation of the world. And Yud-Kei Vav-Kei also represents Anochi Hashem Lokeach, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so all of these three things come together. Aleph is the I think of Tzadik, all the Tayag Mitzvos can be all hidden in the Aseres HaDibros. And all of the Aseres HaDibros can be hidden, can be found in the beginning of the Aseres HaDibros, Aleph. Aleph is the most concentrated letter of Torah. Because the Tayag Mitzvos can be condensed into the Aseres HaDibros. And the entire Aseres HaDibros somehow can be condensed into the letter Aleph. So Aleph really captures the entire Torah.
It's the Anochi.
Anochi Hashem Elokecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is 26, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anochi, which was Torah. Also Hashem represents, Hashem has given us the Torah, which is given to us exactly 26 generations from the time that the world was created. Okay, another interesting idea about the letter Aleph. Aleph is the other letters Pella, a wonder. When you take the word Aleph, and you spell it backwards, what do you get? A wonder, a Pella. Pella means something which is obviously beyond our understanding, and that really represents creation, and everything in this world is beyond our understanding.
Rabbi,
yeah?
Also, from the word Aleph, I mean, it's maybe far stretched, you have the word Aluf.
Yeah. Right, a chief.
So the chief, it's the chief letter.
Chazal said that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Alufoi Shel Olam, the chief of the world. And that is captured in the letter Aleph. I once saw a Jewish that an Aleph, and this is something very bizarre. This is something to, a lot of, almost everything I tell you today is new to me. I mean, I didn't hear all these things until last night, until I was starting to prepare for this. But it's brought down a different svarim that before the chait of Adam HaRishon, the Aleph was straight. Aleph is a very strange letter because it's on the main body of the Aleph is on an angle. It's very bizarre. Most of the letters, not all the letters, they're pretty much straight. The basic foundation of the letter is straight, and then there are things which are attached from different angles. But here, the Aleph, the foundation of the Aleph is a Vav on an angle. Before the Chet Adam HaRishon, it says this in some esoteric midrashim, the Aleph was straight, which basically means that the Aleph looked like a pitchfork. It was a straight Vav, and two Yuds came out, one from the left, one from the right. Due to the Chet of Adam HaRishon, it's like the Tower of Pisa. It was an earthquake. It was corrupt. Man corrupted the Aleph, and it turned on an angle, and the two Alephs now just barely hang on an angle. And this is what it means in the past, that Kadosh Baruch Hu says, there will come one day the Gula, V'oilich eschem, Komimius. I will walk with you upright. I will straighten the bend, the corruption that has happened, has come upon the Aleph when Adam HaRishon sinned. No longer will it be bent, it will be Komimius, it will once again be upright. And once you are Jewish, whenever you go into a house, everyone knows this Jewish, that the mezuzah is on an angle. Why is the mezuzah on an angle? Because there's a machlokes rashi in Rabbeinu Tam. How do you position the mezuzah? Is it positioned straight or flat or lying flat? Rashi says it should be straight, and Rabbeinu Tam says it should be vertical, should be horizontal. He said the same should have sefer in the sefer. How do you put a sefer in the Arna Kodesh? Do you put it vertical or do you put it horizontal? You lie down flat. Rashi holds it should be straight, or Rabbeinu Tam it should be flat. So mezuzah, what do? We make a compromise. Compromises, we put it on an angle. This is very famous, so it's not the only reason why it's on an angle, but that's one of the reasons why it's on an angle. We want to make a compromise between Rashi and Tosfos, and everyone knows the famous Jewish, that when it comes to Shalom Bayis, you want there to be peace in your home, there has to be some compromise. You want to be peace between man and woman, there has to be compromise, otherwise the world's not going to survive. Aleph is the first letter in the Aleph. The angle of the Aleph is the same angle as the mezuzah. And the two Yuds, in the Hasidish literature, represent, what is a Yud? Is a Yid. Is a Yid. A Yid. It's a Yid. If they want to bring together two Yidin, it has to be a compromise. There has to be Pshara. Just like the mezuzah on the door is Pshara to bring Shalom Bayis.
It's a place where it's very dangerous.
Yes.
Two Jews should always go together because two
Yidin
make
Hashem.
Yeah,
two Yidin should go together because the two Yuds make up HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Okay, there are some interesting remazim that Aleph represents. What is Aleph? Aleph Lamed Pei Emes Lemod Picha. Aleph is Aleph Lamed Mem Emes Lemod Picha. Teach yourself to teach. to teach truth. MS, teach your mouth to speak only truth. Aleph, Beis, these two letters go together. Aleph, Beis, what do they represent? So this is very interesting, and this is really what the Gemara says. When you learn Torah, Torah should be learned b'tzinah. Don't go hang up Torah out in the street. Torah has to be learned b'tzinah, in a place of privacy. It's not something that you go and you publicize. The Gemara Darsh, the Pasuk, Chamuke Yirechayich. It is the hiddenness of your thigh. Just like the person's thigh is covered, so too Torah must be covered. This is alluded to in the two letters, Aleph Beis. Aleph always means to learn. Aleph. Aleph being a learn. Where do you... Ulpan. Ulpan is a school. The school is an institution. Aleph, to learn. Where? Bias. Beis. Beis is bias. Torah is meant to be learned b'tzinah. Don't hang up Torah in public. It's not a zilzal for the kedusha and the dignity of Torah for it to be explained in public. Shpun aleph, learn beis in the bias.
Why do people take the daf yomi on trains?
Okay, so it means, I don't know, okay, it has to be a... calibrated. What exactly that divard means? Another idea of aleph beis. Another popular word. Aleph means learn beis too. There are two parts to Torah. There is Torah shebichsav and Torah shebal peh. Aleph beis. Make sure that it's impossible to learn Torah, one part of Torah, without being a master in the other part of Torah. If you don't learn one without the other, a person chashom can become an apikoris. Now, as far as grammar goes, something very, very interesting. We're going to come to this in the end of this peri deal. We're going to focus on this, and this is a very interesting grammatical insight into the letter Aleph. Aleph is used in Tanakh to replace a hey when you want to emphasize an idea. For example, the classic idea is in the beginning of Sefer Rus, where Naomi tells the people when she returns to her hometown, to Beis Lechem, Kiron li mora. Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasantness. Call me bitterness. Kiron li mara. In Sefer Rus, the word mara is spelled with an aleph. Grammatically, that is incorrect. The word mara should be spelled with the letter he. Why is it spelled with an aleph? So Rabbeinu Bachya, this cites this one of the many examples, is that we have a word that's meant to be spelled with a he, and you exchange it with an aleph. What you're really trying to do is not just a little bit, but a lot. Don't call me a little bitter. Call me mara, very bitter. I'm an extremely bitter person for all of the tsaras and tragedies that have come upon me. Now, where do we have another major application of this idea? Where the word kriya, the word of mikra. Yaakov Avinu tells his children, come, gather together. I want to tell you, Eis Asher Yikra Eschem Ba'acharis Hayamim. That Vayikra, spelled with an aleph, really means to read. Yaakov meant to say to them simply, I'll tell you what's going to happen, all of the events, the haphazard events, what's going to occur. And indeed we find the same expression being used by Bilam. He said Yikra with a hey, and we find it in Daniel also. We had this in Daniel also, it's spelled with a hey. So why didn't by Yaakov is it spelled with an aleph? So the answer is because when you have a hey and you exchange it for an aleph, it means not just a little bit, a lot. And when Yaakov was telling Klal Yisrael, is I want to tell you that the things that are going to happen to Klal Yisrael, the Achas Hayamim, that are not just small little things. These are major, major events that are going to affect the entire world. It's an emphasis on Mikra, not just a small thing, a major thing. It's a very interesting grammatical diuk from the Rabbeinu Bachya. Now, some numbers. Aleph. This I never knew. This is very interesting. What is the gematria of Aleph? Aleph, that's one. It represents number one. But how do you spell Aleph? Aleph, Lamed, Pei. 111. That's amazing. Aleph is 131s. What? Yeah. Haloi Dover. You can't say it's an insignificant matter. The gematria of... how do you spell Aleph? Aleph, Lamed, Pei. Pei is 80. Lamed is 30, that's 110, and Aleph, the first Aleph is 111. So it's interesting that Aleph itself, when you spell an Aleph and you take the numerical value, it is 111, three ones. That definitely says something. Now, it's another interesting point, and I never knew this, that Aleph Beis always in Chazal means Aleph Bina. Aleph, yeah, everyone knows. Aleph means learn Torah. Bina means understanding. We just finished Chanukah. Aleph, learn Torah. The gematria of Aleph Bina is 523. How many parakim are there in Shas? You know this, you know Mishnayos. There are 523 parakim in Mishnayos. You want to learn Mishnayos, you have a Seder to learn. Learn Mishnayos, everyone, you know, 523, how do you fit 523 and 365 and so on and so forth. But it's interesting, learn Bina, understanding that the whole sum of knowledge is contained in Mishnayos, in the parakim of Mishnayos, the 523 Mishnayos, which is the same gematria as Aleph Bina. Now, let's go to another idea. I always found this very interesting. Maybe you tell me significance, is that in Talmud Bavli, there is no Aleph. Right, we learned Daf Yomi. When you learn Daf Yomi, and Mr. Nistam, when you learn Daf Yomi, there is no Daf Aleph in any Masechta in Talmud Bavli. And you assure me there is, but in Bavli not. So why is that so? So one, the simple answer is, well, you look at the Shar block. There's no Daf Aleph. Every Masechta begins with Daf Beis. What happened to the Aleph? So the simple answer is because the Shar block where it says Masechta Brachas, that is the Aleph. In the ancient times, when the printers, they did not ascribe such great significance to the pages. The Shar block, where it says who printed this Shah, that was Aleph, and that's why the second page is based. I don't know, the Yerushalmi, they didn't go for that. The Shar Blot was minus one, and this starts with Aleph. But that's the simple reason. But the Jewish is, you can never say that you completely, you learn a Masechta, there's always so much more to know. It represents Aleph Bina, represents to learn Torah. You can never say that you've mastered, that you've fully achieved Aleph Bina, a full understanding of knowledge. And therefore, the Aleph is missing. It's the famous word they always tell children, but just something interesting to take note of when we study the letter Aleph. Now, there's something called Emunah, faith. Right? We have Emunah. This is the basic principle of life, Emunah. In the world of Kabbalah, this when they refer to numbers, they refer to the number, a letter Aleph. It's called the Aleph Hamonui. Aleph is the first number from which we begin to count. There's a Beis, a Gimel, a Dal, and everything. Aleph, the letter Aleph, is the first number. It's a concept. The Aleph, Echod Hamonu, the first letter which is used in forms of calculation. You start with one, and then there's two, three, four, and you build your way up. Emuna, this is a very deep idea. Emuna is really, what is faith? Emuna is Aleph Moneh. It's the first number that's used to count. It captures this Kabbalistic principle of calculation. But not just calculation, it's where all of calculation begins. When we calculate things, we have building blocks. We have 22 letters, which to use for calculations. The first, the most basic principle of the number system is Aleph. That's why it's called in the world of Kabbalah, the Aleph Hamonui. It's the first number, the basic foundation from which all calculations are built upon. Then comes a base, a Gimel, a Dal, a Hey. We use the 22 letters, and we can build it, we can expand it, we can go infinite number of numbers. But it all starts, the calculation all begins with Aleph. What is faith? Faith, a person is in a situation, it is an outgrowth, it is a result of a very complicated calculation, how many things have come together to bring about a certain event. And it's very difficult to understand why did this happen. A person suffers for whatever reason, and that's only because of a whole collection of things have come together. It's a very complicated calculation how this event has come to be, and the person sits back and says, why did this happen? And the person has to realize it all came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that happens in this world is rooted in the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nashkacha Pratis. And that's exactly what Emunah is. Emunah is Aleph Moneh. It's the beginning of all calculations. Events are the sum of complex calculations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in this world. And as the calculations get more complex and more distant from its source, we lose track of the Aleph, of where the calculation, where it began. To recognize that everything comes all the way back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aleph, that is really what Emunah is. That's why Emunah is called the Aleph Moneh. Yeah. Okay, so that's the principle, Aleph HaManui, which Emunah is the recognition. It all starts, the world all comes back and starts from Aleph HaMoneh. Now, this is a very deep idea. I found this to be fascinating. Aleph also represents the concept of Echad. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Aleph, it's one, but there's another way to define the word one, and that is Echad. Echad. We all know that on Pesach, we all enumerate the numbers. Where do the numbers end? It's a very strange piyut. One of the last piyutim is Echad Miyodeh, Echad Neyodeh. So what's the last number? So you couldn't go more? You can't go on 14? I'm sure you can find 14, 15, 16. I'm sure you're creative, you're clever, you can find anything.
Everybody's
so why is the number 13 the end? Why is that the end of the number system in this context? Aleph represents 1. And then 13 will finish. I'm sure you can find a 14. You'll find a 14 somewhere. It was significant. So the answer is because Echad is Bigamachia 13. Aleph Chestalet. Aleph Chestalet is Bigamachia 13. Therefore, there is a relation between 1 and 13. Now, here's something very interesting. We start off with the idea that 1, Aleph, really is also 1,000. When you get to the end, when you get to 400, we have another 5 letters in the alphabet, the Mansapach, the end letters, 5 more letters, which take us to 900, and then after we get to 900, the cycle continues. We go back to Aleph, which is Aleph. Pasuk says, Echa Yirdoif Echad Aleph. How could it be that it used to be in the good old days, Echad, one person is able to pursue an Aleph? And this pasuk is a fascinating pasuk because it captures what's going on, what the cycle. This pasuk, besides the simple interpretation, you have one warrior is chasing after 1,000 enemies, but it represents the concept, how is it shaykh for a person to go through the entire cycle? Echad yirdoif, how is it possible for man to be roideif, to pursue, to accomplish, to go from Echad, which is the Aleph, 1, all the way through the cycle, through the tens, through the 2 digits, to the 3 digits, to get all the way to 1,000. So this is fascinating. If you take that pasuk, I don't have an answer. I just want to point out a connection. If you take Echa Yirdoif Echad El, take the first letters, Echa's Aleph. Yirdoif is Yud, Yirdoif. Echad is Aleph. Aleph, Aleph. Aleph, Yud, Aleph, Aleph. 3 Alephs and a Yud are the first letters of this expression which capture the cycle of 1 to 1,000. What's the gematria of Aleph, 13, Yud, 13? Now take the last letters. Echa, Hey. Echa, Yirdoif, Pei, 80. Echad, Dalit, Aleph, Aleph is Aleph Pei. What's the gemash of the last letters? 169. What is 169? 13 squares. So look at that. We have over here, these two numbers overlap. I don't know what the significance is. I don't know the answer, but it's something very interesting. Echad is, there are two different systems. There is 1 to 1,000. Look at all the letters of the alphabet. Aleph, Aleph. And it goes, you go through a cycle, through the Mansapach. There's also Echad, Aleph also represents the concept of Hashem is Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem is 1. Echad, for some reason, is captured in the number 13. The Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it says in the Piyot. These two cycles overlap. Echad Yirdoif, Echad Aleph is surrounded with the number 13. Through 13, you're able to encompass the entire spectrum, the entire scope of the entire number system. 1 through 1,000, Echa Yirdoif Echad Aleph, through Echad, which is 13, which 13, 169 from both sides here and there. Okay, so that's something also I found to be very interesting. Okay, now let's discuss the 3 times in Tanakh where the Aleph is different. the entire Tanakh, there are three times with the letter Aleph is now. Everyone knows the first one. Vayikra. A small Aleph. Okay, now the second one, it's all the Midrashim, but for Sa'af. Okay, let's look. The other one, which is the beginning of Sefer Divrei Hayamim. The first letter of Divrei Hayamim begins with Adam, Sheis, Enosh. Those are the first three words of the first pasuk of Divrei Hayamim. And Adam is the first word. The Aleph of Adam is very large. Okay, so we have here a small Aleph in Vayikra, and a large Aleph in Divrei Hayamim. Now those two appear in our printing of the Tanakh, I mean the Sefer Torah, the Aleph, the Minig is to write Aleph small, and those Divrei Hayamim, we don't really write Divrei Hayamim, we don't really need it. We don't really need it. We don't lane Divrei Hayamim, we never lane from it, it's not part of the Haftarah, it's not the Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, we lane the Megillos. Do we ever lane Ksuvim?
No.
We never learn the Neo. We never do this. We study these books. But it's...
Five Megillos.
What?
Five Megillos.
But besides the Megillos, do we ever do other... Because the Megillos... The Megillos...
Only from the
Nevi'im. So there's no... I don't know any significance of why we would have a... I mean, they write... Tehillim, it's a popular thing. They write... For some reason, Tehillim is popular. They write... Seifim write a whole Sefer Tehillim on cloth. It's a pop, certain chassidim, people like to lane, people who are Tehillim zoggers. People like to say Tehillim after they become sophisticated enough to know all the words. They like to lane Tehillim from a cloth. And the kaisel, there it is, if you go in the cave, they have there in a glass, very nice, in a glass cage, in a glass case, they have a beautiful Sefer Tehillim on cloth. Anyone can come and read, and you just keep on turning. You turn, the handles come out, and it's protected by glass, so you can't steal, you can't damage it, but you can. And it's very popular. It's very hard to get to it because everyone is there. It's very hard. You have to wait in line to use it. And a lot of them, but if they were to write a Divrei Hayamim, they would make a big Aleph. But there's another Aleph. And this, for some reason, it's not clear why. It's not the minig anymore, but it definitely used to be the minig, and it's brought down in many midrashim. Is that on Simchas Torah? And Parash of Zoyes HaBracha, the Pasuk Ashrecha Yisrael Michamocha, the Aleph of Ashrecha, you are happy. Aleph, Ashrecha with an Aleph, not with an Ayin. Ayin would be you're rich. Yeah. Aleph means you're fortunate. Ashre Yoshve Vesecha, you're fortunate, you're praiseworthy. Praiseworthy, you're happy, you're fortunate. So that is written with a big, the Mesorah is that it should be written with a big Aleph. For whatever reason, I do not know why, it's not the custom today. Today, Seifim do not write that Aleph big. Why? Whatever. There are a lot of letters like that. There are not written letters. But those are the only three, believe it or not, are the only three in the entire Tanakh which are Mishunah, which are different. Now, what is the significance? So there's a lot of these in the very nice Jewish. Someone is saying that Moshe, when he wrote the Torah, he wrote a small Aleph of Ayikra. Everyone knows the Rashi. Moshe was humble. And Moshe didn't want people to say, oh, Hashem loves me, Hashem called me. Vayikar, make believe the Aleph does not exist. It's just an accident. Hashem spoke to me by accident. It could have been anyone. It could have been you. It could have been this one. I'm nothing special. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. It's not anything special. It's a degree of humility. But a lot of the Darshams, the beautiful Jewish, is they say, but when Moshe came to Klal Yisrael, Ashrecha Yisrael, Moshe wanted to parallel, I'm a nothing, a Klal Yisrael, that's what's special. Therefore, he bedafka made the Aleph in his Sefer Torah, a big Aleph for Ashrecha Yisrael, the big Aleph. There's another Jewish, and that is connecting all the Alephs. That is Vayikra El Moshe. Moshe on the one hand is humble. It represents humility. Hashem called to me, I'm just a nobody. Then there's Adam, the first Adam of Divrei Hayamim. That represents man, the creation of man. Do you realize how great man is? How great man is Adam? Now the difference is Slobodka and Navardik. Slobodka, they emphasized the godless Adam, the greatness of man. In Arvardik, you dress as shmatis, and you go into the grocery store and you ask for lumber, and you go into the lumber store and you ask for groceries, and man is a nothing. The truth is, there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance between humility and between the godless Adam. When you have that balance between the small aleph of Vayikra El Moshe, Moshe is teaching us to Torah, to come to humility, and the Makir Adam, Hashem created Adam Harishon, the greatness of man. When you have that balance, Ashrecha Yisrael. That's where Klal Yisrael is great. Klal Yisrael's greatness lies in between the balance of knowing when to be humble and knowing when to step forward and to show and to show and to make use of the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them. Okay, something that's very interesting is that it's number 13. I never knew this is fascinating to me. 13, Aleph Echad is Echad, one. And all the others, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I never knew this. The letters of their name, Avraham, how many letters are there in Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov?
13.
How many letters are there in Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leia? 13. Together, 13 and 13 is 26. The Shem Hashem Yisrael V'Raisa V'Kushirichu Chadhu. We had in the Mosur we just had Naseh Nes La Shoshanim. A Shoshan is a certain type of rose. Chazal say has 13 petals. Yes, what it says 13. You have to find. Go Google it today. Google it. Go Google it. 13 petals, and it's written B'Loshon Rabim. For two, one of the Avos, the Imahos, and the Avos with the Imos together, 13 is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Aleph. So if you have, you see, this is another idea where they come together. Aleph is 26. What is 26? The Vav and the two Yuds. But what is Echad? Echad, and what is Echad? Echad is 13. A spell out Aleph. So when you have the two echads, which represent in this case Klal Yisrael, the Avos and the Imos, which are 13, together you bring the Shechina, Ish V'Isha, Shalom B'Nehem, Shechina B'Nehem. In the big picture of things, Klal Yisrael represents the Ish V'Isha, all of the Avos, with all of the Imos, together, 13, Shechina B'Nehem, you have 26, you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina rests among Klal Yisrael. Okay, I think I told you come out everything that I have on this piece of paper. Let me just make sure. Let me make sure I didn't miss out on anything.
There's also Amzu Yatsar-Zuli.
Yeah.
The configuration of Klal Yisrael is 13. Zu.
Zu is 13. Amzu is the configuration.
The power in Mansukh.
Okay, so I think that pretty much covers it. That is our Aleph.